Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome. Again, can't thank you for enough for coming over here at the last minute. I believe it was a God-ordained thing, Brenda, and we just thank God for you, your team, Vicky and Seth. Thank you. Thank you, guys. What awesome. You really helped us today. Praise God. Praise God. Need some gentlemen. Come on, gentlemen. We see ladies coming down. We come up here and we help them down. There you go. Praise God. I want to go right into the Word today. I want to talk to you about praise. I want to talk about displaying the glory of God's kingdom. And some of that was displayed a few moments ago in praise and worship. Do you know that Jesus calls the church in the book of Revelation a lampstand? A lampstand is to bear the light. A lampstand is not to draw attention to itself, but it's to hold up the light. And a church is a lampstand. We're not here to promote ourselves. We're not here to promote the pastor. We're here to promote the light. Who is the light? Jesus is the light. Several years ago, the Lord impressed upon my heart to change the mission purpose statement of our church. We had a good mission purpose statement, but it was too long. And the Lord just woke me up in the middle of the night with a very simplified mission purpose statement saying that this is your purpose. Everything you do in Grace Tabernacle needs to be tied to this purpose. And the mission purpose statement simply is this. If you don't know, it's on the walls, on both walls of our church. It's on the front of our foyer area. You should see it all the time. It's presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that sets people free. So simple. We're here to present Jesus. We're a lampstand that is to present Jesus to this community and to the world. If we ever stop doing that and we chase some other mission, then we're off the mission of God. And I think God will remove our lampstand. We have a mission, and that's to present Jesus as he really is. And he's the full revelation of God. He's grace and truth. And if you know him, he sets you free from things. Sets you free from religion, false ideology, sets you free so you can be what God intended for you to be. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God probably more than any other subject. He talked about the kingdom of God. And as he talked about the kingdom of God, one day he was talking to the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the day, who should have known God, but they didn't recognize Jesus when he was standing right in front of him. And Jesus spoke to them, it says in John or Luke 17, it says, Jesus answered them when he's talking about the kingdom, and he said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. No one's going to say, look over there it is, or come over here, there it is. He said, the kingdom of God, and he was speaking to the Pharisees, is to be within you. Amen. It's to be inside you. The kingdom is where there's a king, and he has a domain. A place where he reigns, where his word is the first word and the final word in all matters. And the kingdom of God is to rule and reign in your heart. So when you receive Jesus, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, it's as if you have a throne inside your heart. You push self off the throne and you invite Jesus to come sit down on the throne of your life, and he becomes the king. And the kingdom is being established in you. And so you learn that you're no longer the boss. Even when you go to the ballot box in a few weeks and you vote, you're not the boss. You know, there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You have the word of God so you know what is right and what's wrong. That's what Pam was trying to say. The word of God doesn't change. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, when he was talking about the kingdom, he said, look, here's how it works. No man can serve two masters. You can't be on the throne of your life and say that Jesus is on the throne of your life. Somebody's lying. God ain't lying. But somebody's lying. Somebody used to say that years ago. We kind of caught that phrase, been using it ever since. But Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. And then he said, you don't focus on material things. That's not about the kingdom of God. That's not your main thing. Don't focus on that. But first and most importantly, seek, aim, strive after his kingdom where he is ruling in your life, and his righteousness, which is a gift that he gives you through Jesus. And then he says, you'll have everything you have need of. Amen. Do you believe that? Yes. Praise God. And then the Apostle Paul came along later, because people started, you know how they do with traditions of men and stuff, and then there was a mixture in among the church from the Jewish believers who came out of a legalism, and some of them were drawn back to that, and they were saying things that were confusing the people in the church, like, well, you know, yes, we believe in Jesus, but you can't eat certain foods, and you got to worship God on certain days, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you don't do this. And the Apostle Paul cleared it up by the Holy Spirit. He said, no, the kingdom of God is not a matter of what you eat or drink. It's not those kind of things. But the kingdom of God is where righteousness rules in you. And as a result, a manifestation of peace, and there'll be a manifestation of joy. Now, just a few moments ago in worship, there was a beautiful manifestation of joy here. Amen. So that tells me the kingdom of God is here. Amen. The kingdom of God is here right now. Amen. Do you know the church, you are called to display the glory of God's kingdom. Amen. That's what you're called to do. If you're a believer, you're the church. You and I are called to display, like a lampstand, to display the light. You're here to display the glory of God. God's kingdom was meant to be displayed, not with something you can see necessarily with material things, but you can see righteousness, you can see peace, you can see joy in the Holy Ghost. You can hear God's people praising God, and that's a manifestation of the kingdom of God among us. It's meant to be displayed. Amen. Well, let me convince you on that, since you're not convinced. Let me convince you on that. Let me take you to the Word of God, and over in the Old Testament, after King David, his son Solomon ruled as king. And King Solomon was a king, and he became a king after David as a young man, and he was smart enough to, before he began everything, he came before God in prayer, and he said, God, I need your help. God appeared to him twice. And God said to him, of all things, he said, you can ask me for whatever you want. What do you want to ask for? Imagine God telling you that. Ask me for anything you want. I'll give it. And Solomon was wise enough to say to the Lord, Lord, you know, I'm in this position. I'm still a young guy. I don't know how to come in and out. I don't know how to rule in these matters. I'm asking you to give me a hearing heart. I'm asking you to give me wisdom from you, to recognize you leading me, to recognize your heart, to recognize what you want. I'm asking you to give me that. And God was so pleased with that. He said, because you didn't ask for long life or the head of your enemies or a bunch of gold and things like that, he says, I'm going to give you what you request, wisdom and a hearing heart, but I'm also going to give you everything else. Because I really liked what you asked for. And God blessed, we say God blessed Solomon with wisdom. He became the wisest man in all the world. He also became the wealthiest man in all the world. And word got out about him, and a lady who was a title had the Queen of Sheba, which would be the country of Yemen today, she'd heard, the whole world heard about Solomon and the wisdom of God. The scripture says in 1 Kings 10 that the Queen of Sheba heard of Solomon's fame connected to the name of the Lord. Did you hear that? Yeah. It was all because he was connected to knowing God, his intimate relationship with God. She heard about that. And she came to Jerusalem to see for herself. When she observed Solomon's wisdom, his servants, his ministers, his entrance, by the way, he went up to the house of the Lord, it took her breath away. She said, man, I ain't ever seen anything like this. And she said, your wisdom and your prosperity are greater than what I heard. Happy are your servants. They're blessed to just be among you, to be around you, to hear you, to be around you, to be with you. And blessed be the Lord your God who delights in you. Now, why am I telling you this? Because this was the glory of God's kingdom being manifested in Solomon's life that was meant to be displayed. So people would say, wow, why is this guy blessed so much? Why does this guy have this wisdom? Where does this guy get all this wealth? It came because he had his relationship with the Lord, and as a result of his relationship with the Lord, he was blessed mightily. He was displaying the glory of God's kingdom. People from all over the world, kings from all over the earth came because they heard of the glory of God's kingdom, but it was all connected to Solomon's relationship to the Lord. Are you listening? It wasn't just because he was a wealthy man. He was a wealthy man because he knew the Lord. It wasn't just because he was wise. He was wise because he knew the Lord. It was all connected to his relationship to the Lord, and as a result, his life was so blessed with such favor, such wealth, such everything you could possibly imagine. God just poured it out on him, and he was displaying the glory of God's kingdom. Amen. Verse 23 of the same chapter, So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth in terms of riches and wisdom. And all the earth came to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. So God blessed this man, and this man was displaying the glory of what a life is like when God is on the throne. You see, God wants to bless you that way. He wants to bless you in such a way that your life is displaying the glory of God, and people will come to you and say, how come you're so blessed? How come you walk in divine health? How come you just seem to be happy? How come things working well in your life? How did you get this to happen? And it's because of your intimate relationship with God. You're that lampstand that is displaying the glory, the light of God that's coming out of you. And then not only you individually, but the corporate church is to do that. The corporate church is to be displaying the glory of God. When people come in here, they ought to see the glory of God. They ought to feel the glory of God. They ought to see it on your faces. They ought to say, man, I want to be part of this. Whatever they're passing out, I want some of it. And that's we're to be attractive because of the glory of God's being displayed in our life. And one thing King Solomon did, because all these kings of the earth came and they just wanted to give him gold. They wanted to give him wealth. They wanted favor. They just wanted to be around him because this was the kingdom of God being manifested. So one of the things that King Solomon did, besides having everything he ate from, his cups and his plates and everything, was pure gold. Imagine the wealth. Everything was very elaborate. One of the things he did in verse 16 and 17 says that King Solomon made 200 large shields, you know, warrior shields that you go into battle with, but these weren't for battle. 200 large shields, they weighed about 15 pounds a piece, made out of pure gold, the finest gold, 600 shekels each of gold, about 15 pounds of gold each, 200 shields. And the king put them on what? Display. In the house of the forest of Lebanon, another house that he had. He just displayed. Look what God has done. Look how God has blessed me. He put these 200 golden shields on display. Now, the best of my estimates, you can do math better than me, whatever the price of gold is today, but this was well over $50 to $100 million. This is just to display the glory of God. 200 solid gold shields. They weren't made for war. They were just to display the glory of God. What's that all about? Was he showing off? No. God was blessing him exceedingly abundantly, far above what he could ask or think. And he was doing this to display, this is the God I serve, a God of abundance, a God of greatness. who's worthy to be praised. You know, there's a parallel in the Bible. You can do a study on this between praise and gold. They have a lot in common. Praise and gold. In heaven, both are plentiful. The streets are lined with gold. Amen?
Amen.
And then the Bible also says that I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's the protocol, how you come before God first with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Praise is abundant in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise should be abundant here on the earth.
Amen.
Praise and gold are a parallel. And these golden shields were nothing more than to give God praise, displaying his glory. Look how God has blessed me. It wasn't about the money. It was about, because gold is it was recognized as the supreme commodity. And gold represents praise to God in heaven. Do you see the parallel? God likes to bless people. My friend Quentin told me years ago, he said, God wants to bless you. He's talking to me. He said, God really wants to bless you in every way possible, much more than you could ever imagine. I said, yeah, I know. I am blessed. I'm blessed. He said, no, with much more. And then about 2-3 years ago, the Lord spoke into my heart, says, I want to give you abundance. I mean, he just spoke that into my heart, and I just wrote it down and kept it, and I don't know what all that means, God, but I thank you for it. It's not all about material wealth, not about money and all that. It's abundant life.
Amen.
I want to bless your life more in every way possible.
Amen.
So God delights in blessing people. God took great pleasure in blessing Solomon.
Amen.
Psalm 37:25, the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. He enjoys blessing you. He gets a thrill out of it. Like you like blessing your kids and your grandkids. You love giving them things that you know is just going to make them be happy with you. And God likes to do that. He likes to do that. He wants to bless you greater than your capacity to be able to receive it. You know, you can limit God's blessing. You can limit God's blessing. I think it's Psalm 107. It says the children of Israel limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited God because of their unbelief. You know, if you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're not going to receive it. If you don't believe in divine healing from the Lord, guess what? You won't receive it. God wants to give it to you, but you can limit God from what he wants to give you. Are you listening? And so God blessed Solomon, and he blessed him so much that the king himself wanted to display the glory of God's kingdom here on earth and how God had blessed him. So he made those 200 solid gold shields. Now hang on to that, because that's important. But we're here on earth, and we know how sometimes people don't always do what they should do, and people that get blessed, sometimes the blessing can turn into a curse. Sometimes the devil can use things to get people snared and caught into something, and they can start out good and they can end up terrible.
Amen.
And we all have stories of leaders, whether it be political leaders or ministers, people that maybe at one time were doing great things for God, and next thing you know, somehow they wound up in the ditch of immorality or the ditch of stealing money or whatever it may be. And we all know people or know of stories like that. Well, unfortunately, it began to happen with Solomon. Not at the beginning. At the beginning of his life, he sought the Lord, and he went after God, and God continued to bless him for a very, very long time. But as he got older, he became a fool. The wisest man in the world, the wealthiest man in the world, had it all, but he went astray. You know, I like to say, someone has said this, but the devil has three fishing hooks that he likes to snag people with, and he doesn't need any more than three, because these three always seem to work in some way or another. And his three fishing hooks are the gold, or the girls, or the glory. And whenever he can get a hold of somebody, whether in a leader, a minister, or a politician or whatever, if he can tempt them with the money or the gold and they go after it, then he's got them hooked. Okay? Or if he can tempt them with the girls, like he did with Solomon. Solomon loved many foreign women, it says. Then he's got them hooked. Or the glory. They like the fame. They like the recognition. They want the glory, just like Lucifer did in heaven. And then if he can give one of those three fishing hooks, usually works on people. And the girls is the fishing hook that worked on Solomon, the wisest man in the world. The Bible says in chapter 11, it says, but King Solomon loved many foreign women. His wives turned his heart away after other gods. He had 700 wives that he made princesses, and he had 300 concubines. What are you going to do with 1,000 women? I don't care. 1,000. And that means 1,000 mother-in-laws, too. I'm just saying. Thank God I had a good one. But here's the point. Here's the point. The devil will try to steal the glory of God's kingdom from your life. Maybe today you're doing good. Maybe today, you know, you're prayed up and you're walking with God and you're listening to God and things are going great and God is blessing your life and you're living under the blessing and the favor of God in your life. And you're saying, praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. But I want to warn you, if the wisest man in the world could succumb and somehow, how did he not know better? He did knew better. Maybe he said, like so many of us have said, yeah, I know it's wrong, but I got a handle on it. I'm only going to go so far. You're laughing because some of you have already been hooked there before. You know what a lie that is. And this is a serious warning to you and to me. The wisest man in the world, God appeared to him 2 times. God blessed him, but he ended up like a fool. And his foreign wives turned his heart away from the love of his life. It says that he went after 3 different gods or demons. One was Astarte or Asherah, which is a sexual infertility god. And his wives, from foreign wives, had turned his heart away. He actually even built shrines, temples for Asherah. And then Molech and Chemosh were child sacrifice. We'd say abortion. See, those demons are still alive. They just got different names. People call it different names, but they're still alive. And the wisest man in the world got hooked and slowly, subtly drawn away from the love of his life and ended up like a fool. And chapter 11, verse 6 says, Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord. The Lord was angry with Solomon because he turned his heart away from the Lord, who appeared to him 2 times. The Lord warned him about this, but he was disobedient to the Lord's command, and the Lord said, I'm going to take the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. Well, Solomon lived out his days. He died. The kingdom was given to his son, who was known as Rehoboam. And he wasn't a man that really sought the Lord like his father initially did. And I say all this to warn all of us here today of distractions. We sometimes have a saying up here, we put it up on this pole up here, keep the main thing. I need that reminder. You need that reminder. Because a distracted person will have a divided heart. Remember, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. A distracted person will have a divided heart. A divided heart has no power to resist the devil. What happened to Solomon can happen to you. He had a divided heart. The women that he loved began to turn his heart away from the Lord. Oh, I still love God. He thought you could have mixture. You can't have mixture with God. Somehow, in the name of tolerance, he said, you know, it really doesn't matter where you go to worship God. It all turns out to be the same thing. You know, God understands. It don't matter what you do over here and over there. You know, you're all worshiping the same God. It was in the name of tolerance. So we can get along. You ever see these bumper stickers coexist with all the different symbols there? And they put a cross in there with the pentagram and everything else. And no, you can't have mixture.
Amen.
God won't tolerate that. And so here's what happened. Let me shorten this down for you. His son's name was Rehoboam. In the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Solomon's son, the king of Egypt from the south, which represents the world, Egypt always represents the world, came against Jerusalem. And he took away all the treasure of the house of the Lord and all the treasures of the king's house, even all the shields of gold which Solomon made. King Rehoboam replaced them with bronze shields. And whenever the king entered the house of the Lord, the guards would carry those bronze shields because people from a distance, they couldn't tell that the gold had been taken. Are you understanding? Gold represents the glory of God's kingdom. It represents praise to God. And somehow the praise to God had been stolen by the devil, by the world. This is in the Bible so that you and I'll take note of this. You know, it's not about the 200 shields. God purposely put this in the Bible so you and I would read this and understand that the gold represents the praise, the glory of God's kingdom, that the church and that people, we are to display the light of God, the truth of God, the word of God to the world. And guess what? It's been stolen. The praise that God should be getting from your life has been stolen. The praise that God should be getting from the church has been stolen. He's worthy to be praised. We've been seeing the last few weeks about what praise is like in Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5, and it should be on heaven as it on earth as it is in heaven, and we should be giving God voice of loud praise and worship and honor, not just to be demonstrative, but because he's worthy of praise. And somehow the devil has stolen praise from the church, and the church has allowed itself to lose the gold shields, and we have the replicas. The bronze, yeah. It looks like we're praising God. But we really ain't. We're not giving God the gold. We're giving him the bronze. And bronze represents judgment, by the way. God had judged Israel. But the king tried to save face. Oh, no, let's. Those 200 gold shields which represented the glory of God. Just don't let people think the glory of God's lifted. Let's make some bronze ones. They'll never know the difference. And the church is not aware of the mixture that it's in. So many people in the church, I don't know if they're ignorant or just directly disobedient, not aware of the witchcraft they have going on in their lives and in their houses. The occult stuff in Deuteronomy 18 that God says don't be a part of. Don't be a part of seances. Don't be a part of horoscopes. Don't be a part of tarot cards. Don't be a part of Harry Potter. Don't be a part of all this junk, this demonic movies and pictures that are in the world. They have no place in you. You're letting the devil take the gold from you and replace it with bronze. You've got to come clean. Separate yourself from those things. And some people are just not aware. Not everything that shines like gold's really gold. You know, not every prophet's really a prophet of God. The Bible says, test the prophets to see what or not. Test the spirits. And not everybody that says they're Christians a Christian. So we need to be wise and discerning, and we go back to the Word of God. It's our first authority. It's our final authority. I don't care if it disagrees with my opinion about matters or my interpretation of the matter. It doesn't matter. God's Word is the final Word, and that's it. That's it. Whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not. And if it's going to offend people, it's going to offend people. Jesus offended people. Can you imagine standing in front of a church of a group of Pharisees and call them a bunch of hypocrites and whitewashed tombs? Well, Jesus, that's not the way you grow a church. See, God's church, His people, you and me, we are here on the earth at this time to display the glory of His kingdom. People should hear truth coming out of our mouth. They should see truth radiating from our life. They should see the light of God in us. They should experience the love of God coming from us and the life of God coming from us. And we are here to display the glory of God. Amen. That's it. That's the simple version of why you're here. Amen. I'm going to land the plane, but Psalm 149, the next to the last Psalm in the song book of the Bible, it says, "Let Israel praise and rejoice in its maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king." That's one of the things we're supposed to do. "Let them sing praises unto him with the tambourines and the harp, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths, and a two-edged sword, which is the word of God, in their hands, for this is the honor of his saints." Amen. Woo! That's supposed to be something we're to be doing. Do you know how powerful that is? We have an enemy. God's enemy, Satan. Otherwise, his first name, he was an angel, a cherub, was known as Lucifer. His name means shining one. He was ordained by God to be the cherub, the angel, that had the incredible gifts and ability from God to be able to lead the worship of heaven. He was leading the angels as well as the saints in heaven. He was going to lead them in praise and worship. Do you know that he had instruments in his body? He had a piano. He had strings. He had guitar. He had tambourines. I don't know how that functioned, but he wouldn't play the piano. He was a piano. He wouldn't play guitar. He was a guitar. He had an incredible ability to use music to bring worship to God in heaven, and all of heaven was inspired by that. That's what his job was. But he wanted the glory. And he began to see what God was getting. He said, "I want that for myself. I'm giving God all this. I want this for myself." And so he took one third of all the angels and rebelled against God. He was cast down to earth and became the enemy of God, a defeated enemy, and our enemy because we belong to God. So Satan, now his name is Satan, he hates us because we're giving glory to God. So Satan's desire is to shut us down, shut the church down, humiliate the church, make the church look weak, make the church look infertile, make the church look like it can't do anything. And one of the ways that we do combat against our enemy, God's enemy, is through praise. Amen. Praising God. Praising God is actually your main weapon. Do you know that the devil's oppression can be stopped by a praising God atmosphere? Did you know that? In Jonah chapter 2, verse 9, the very moment that Jonah began to recognize that God was his salvation, God was his deliverer, and began to say it, was the very moment that the big fish opened his mouth up and let him out on the land. It was as a result of him praising God. Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, it was at the moment they began to sing praises to God that the jail cells opened up and the shackles fell off of them as they were praising God. Isaiah chapter 61 says that you should put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. It's something you can put on. That's your responsibility. If you're being oppressed by the devil, and if you're not being oppressed by the devil, I'd like to know, what in the hell are you doing? I'm serious. We live under oppression. You live under oppression. And if the devil's not bothering you, then you and him are going in the same direction. And so this is a weapon you've got to be using as a daily part of your life, not just on Sunday morning. See? And we need to learn to praise God. That's why we're on this subject right now, to the end of the year. Praising God, praising God. Learning how to pray. There's some battles that'll never be won until you learn how to praise God. I'm telling you, some of you right now, and Jason and Sandy are new believers in the Lord, and at least they were recognizing that they're under a lot of oppression since you got saved. How have things been? It's, whew, man, we've been going through a time. Yeah, well, that's good news, but you can fight back by learning to praise God with your mouth out loud. Crank up the praise music in your car, in your ear pods, or whatever you do. Learn to just praise God, and it absolutely harasses the devil, and it is a warfare that if you do that long enough, you create a praise atmosphere. You begin to display the glory of God in the atmosphere. The gold comes out. So, I land the plane. We exist to display the glory of God and His kingdom to this world. That's why we're here. This is our purpose as a church, is to equip you, train you, then send you out, and that you go out as ambassadors and do the same thing in your world. Amen. Give God praise. We exist to display the glory of God. Yes. Solomon had it stolen, and maybe some of you feel the same way. The devil has stolen your praise to God. Get your praise back on. Get your shout back on. Get your dance back on. Learn to get violent in praise and worship. The devil hates it. God loves it. And you'll be blessed as a result of it. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you for being patient this morning. And I'm going to ask our altar workers to come on up. Sure, would you mind? And we're going to pray for anybody that wants prayer. Pam already gave an altar call this morning for salvation, and that is if you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, if He's not sitting on the throne right now, here's what you must do. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that He's alive right now, and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is now my Lord, you're inviting Him in to take the throne. He'll do it, but by invitation only. And that is an act of your will. And if you've never done that, just keep your eyes open and pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my God. From this day forward, I receive you and your kingdom. May I display the glory of your kingdom right now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer in faith, believing and receiving Jesus, I want you to come right up here and share that with me without being afraid. Don't be ashamed, but stand out. Let it be displayed. I belong to Jesus now. He's my Savior. I'm trusting in Him. Some of you need to come back to God. You've been away. You've let things distract you. You let the world distract you. You watch too much news. Quit watching all that news. That's depressing. Listen to God. He's on the throne. You don't need to walk around depressed because of the way things are in this world. You need to walk around and thank God that He's on the throne. Display the glory. Some of you have lost that, and you need to come back to the Lord and say, God, I'm coming back to put you first and get my eyes on you and not be distracted by all this junk that's going on in the world. I'm going to ask you to respond however God is speaking to your heart today. Don't leave here the same way you came in. You need deliverance? We believe in deliverance. You need healing? We believe in healing. believers lay hands on the sick, they recover. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, draw the people here right now that want, that you want ministering to, draw them here. May they be connected to the right people. May the Holy Spirit lead, guide, and direct. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Come back Wednesday night. Wednesday's Wisdom. We'll see you at 6:30. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. Special thanks to Brenda Ammons and Seth and Vicki for being here. And Pam's got a Bible study here.
Ladies Bible study.
Ladies Bible study Thursday. Amen. God bless you. We're here to minister to you.